Welcome to Christ Today. Life is beautiful. Heavenly Father, thank you for life. And thank you that we can choose to know Jesus. We can choose to follow Jesus right into the heavenly kingdom of God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. And we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Oh, Lord. Lord, I am glad to know so many followers of Jesus Christ. I interact with them sometimes in the middle of a city, sometimes in a church. But I know that there are many people who follow Jesus Christ, and I am thankful that I get to know them. I know that there's so many who have love and compassion for other people. And Lord, that is one of the things about a Christian. I have found that people love to have compassion for others. So thank you for letting me be a part of the fellowship of God through Jesus Christ. I am reminded that there are so many good people in the world and so many people in, the different churches, including the Rock of Life Fellowship Church here in South Chico. It's just lots of friendly people, good pastor, and I still am thankful to Pastor Alfredo Romero for speaking on Christ Today as he did. He filled in for me in the last months of last year, and I'm so glad. I like the things that he talks about. I'm glad that I get to know him and the people in that wonderful church. So it's good. If you're looking for a church, you can try that. Some people just love the music, and I've gotten to find it to be pretty good too. So it's an option for you if you don't have a church home. Just have a look over there. You might like it. So thank you for everyone praying for me as I have recovered from my automobile accident. I'm just so grateful for the prayer. Prayer has been effective. And what I see is that I've known that quite a few people have been praying. And the doctors have said that they recognize the results of what's gone on, and it's faster than normal, the healing. So the only way I can understand that is that it's by people praying for me. And so I'm thankful to the prayer that everyone has done. Well, we are getting better and better. All of us have better and better. And then every once in a while we have things that just don't quite make sense, huh? But that's the way it seems to work exactly with God. We get a mixture of both. Both the wonderful and the things that are kind of trouble. And we get through all of them. And some things turn out wonderfully, and some things we say, hey, I thought it would be better. But the point is we can learn from everything that is going on. We have examples. And again, I will say my healing is an example of prayer and God's mercy, because He is the great physician. Thank you, Lord. I do certainly enjoy talking to people who have an understanding of God's Bible. It's always something to discuss. There's many things that we can try to figure out. Many things. The book is not just something that we read once and now we know. We learn more and more as we read and study God's Word, the Bible. It's a good book, and I hope everyone will read it. I hope that you read it. It's a good book to read. I hope you do. Really do. Well, we're a little bit into this new year now, and we know that events have happened and that they will happen, and we are trying to figure out what is going to happen. And then we're going to trust God through these events. There are things going on, and we're going to say, yes, Lord, and try to do our faithful part as we live through it, as we love God and love our neighbor. That's the great command of Matthew 22:38. So all these things, we interact with our world, we interact with God, we know that Jesus is our Savior, and we're thankful for that. We have a lot of people in the world that need prayer. We have a lot of children in the world that need prayer. And I hope that you remember the people around you, whoever they are. They can be your relatives. They can be your friends. They can be people you just run into and you happen to talk to during the day. And that has happened to me just plenty. Somebody, you know, that's another thing I will just say. I have had people be merciful to me. Oh, there was a bit of time there when I was really not walking so good after my accident, and I used a cane and had a sling on, and I had people being considerate to me. So, you know, I don't know if it's like this all over the country, but in Northern California, I have had a lot of people being considerate to help me. And it's not like I was in a wheelchair, but I was kind of hurting. And people had compassion. And I want to say that because there's a lot of compassionate people just living every day in life. There's compassionate people in the health industry also. The people in the hospitals were really just wonderful, wonderful. For what they had to deal with, they were always just really decently good people. And I appreciate that so much. I never would have known, never would have ran into people like that if I hadn't have been in such need. But I was. I was in that car accident that was not a good one. And so I just want you to remember all the good people there are in the world. There are a lot of good people. And so I want to remind everybody who can hear this to be joyful and glad that there are good people everywhere. And a part of that is the love of Christ, which love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that loves us. God loves us. And a part of that love is loving our neighbor as ourself. And that's a wonderful part of the scripture that we would do well to think upon, to understand, and see how we can do that. It's something you have to think about. It's not something that we do automatically. We think about ourselves so much of the time. We just don't even worry about people. Oh, we're somebody on the side of the road. We don't think about them very much, mostly. And most people think, I have an appointment. I have these things to do today. I don't even have time to stop and help that family at the side of the road. Well, there's a lot of people who do, and a lot of people that have that good and godly compassion. And that's what I want to just acknowledge right now, that there are some really good people in the world. So God watch after them. Lord bless them. And I want you to know that the world is not a terrible place. There's lots and lots of good and goodness in the world. So keep that in mind as you go around and see the things in the world, the people in the world. And it's good. It's beautiful. And it is not perfect. And we will get so many good things in heaven, and heaven will be wonderful and perfect. But right now, not so much. Well, there's things that we go through in life, and we can find the good parts of it. I just talked about my auto accident. I would never choose to go through that. But I will say there was a good thing about it, and that is that I found out how many good and kind people there were, both in the world and in my family. It was more and better than I expected. So I want to just tell you, we have a lot of good in this world. And we can be one of those good people in the world too. So things are going to happen. And a part of what we will do is be those good, godly people. And using wisdom, because we're not going to do things that are stupid. We're not going to be unsafe. We're not going to bring anybody else into harm's way or just an argument or some kind of a difficulty. No, we're going to be smart about everything that goes on, and it's going to be good. So things have happened to all of us, I know, and then we have to renew the spiritual part of it, the goodness that we feel, and not just feel, but have. We have goodness in our life, and it's so many good things. So we appreciate all of it, and that's what we're going to do. We are going to appreciate the good things in life. So, sure, we will overlook the unpleasant things and be aware of the unpleasant things, but focus on the good. That's how we get through things. That's how we get through the life troubles that we are all faced with. We are all faced with troubles, and somehow we are going to get through them. Things happen. Again, let me continue. Life goes on, and we're going to do what we can to be the force of God's goodness in the world. The world around us is a lot of it wonderful, a lot of it pretty, a lot of it with good and godly ideas. When I think about the beautiful places I've been, I think of the world, and I know not all of it's wonderful and beautiful, but I appreciate the good and beautiful things that I have seen and that I will see. And that includes the people that I will see. Lots of good and wonderful people. And for the times that we are feeling like we have to be careful, then please be careful. Be aware of what's around you. I think they call that situational awareness. That is what it's called. We want to be aware of the situation around us so that we are not surprised with a trouble. Just the trouble, because we don't know what it can be. It can be anything. Well, no matter where we are or what part of the life we are in, we do want to be aware and careful. I look at the people sometimes who are just walking down the street, and the only thing they can look at is their cell phone. And I think, oh, poor person, they're not even enjoying the things around them, whether it's people or a whole situation. There's people to enjoy. There's a situation to enjoy, no matter where you are. Yeah, I've been in some awkward situations too. I've been places where I really would rather not have been. But there is still something you can learn from it. You might say enjoy it, and that is appropriate too. What can we enjoy about the situation? Can we enjoy the story that we're going to get out of it when we finally tell somebody about what happened to us? Sure, that's a good thing to talk about too. I've had a few of those, and you have too. It's just life. We go through it, and often enough there's things to watch out for. So watch out for them, and then go on with your prepared, careful person that you are. We do have to be careful when we are evaluating people. Yes, people are all different, and some of them are just good and wonderful, and some of them are kind of dangerous. And so, yes, ask God about it. We can talk to God as we're going through life, as something or other is going on, and we say, yes, Lord, show me. I want to see. Is this okay for me to do? Do I want to be careful and cautious? We can ask God all these things, and sometimes we get an immediate answer. And it's not always the way we are expecting an answer, because we think somebody's going to talk to us when we talk to them. Well, some people do get an audible voice, but other people get a sense in their spirit that they better be careful. Some people get somebody who comes up to them and says something about a caution or good job or whatever it is. Somebody will come up to them. There's many ways that God talks, and it's not just in an audible voice. So have a look and keep that situational awareness about what's going on around you so that you do not get hurt. There are plenty of people who would be pleased to hurt you. They just don't care, and we want to stay safe. So whoever you are, man, woman, boy, or girl, there's somebody who wants to take advantage of you, to do things that are not good to you. And we want things to be good for you. So have that prayerful moment and ask God for protection well before that time. Pray for yourself. Pray for other people. There's lots of people who need prayer. So prayer is such an important thing. I know that when we get into a situation, we always think, well, I've got my phone with me. I can call the police. Well, you can if it all works. Is somebody going to hit the phone out of your hand? Are you going to be able to dial the numbers? Are you going to be able to escape if you're paying attention to your phone? All these things are questions as to what you're dealing with, how much time you have, and is anybody going to come to your rescue? Again, how much time do you have before that happens? Oh, there's that old saying, what are you going to do when seconds count, but the police are minutes away? So that's one of those things that is a saying, and it's something to pay attention. We don't exactly know how things will turn out, but we know how they could. So look out for if there's people approaching you that you think should not be there. Look out for if there's a number of people who are just plain coming towards you and not looking like trouble, but There's three or five of them, and there they are. Be aware, it's better to cross the street, even if you're jaywalking, than it is to get accosted by a group of five guys, have your wallet or your purse stolen, maybe even worse happen to you. The thing is, it's not an easy thing, and I hope you're aware and careful of the people around you. That's the biggest thing you could do, I think. Now, there are a lot of good people, and there are a few that are really, really bad. Just a few. And of course, they look like regular people. If they didn't look like regular people, then you could be aware and not get entangled with them, however your situation is. But good guys and bad guys, they don't wear badges, and you don't know which ones are which. So be careful through all the things that you're going through when you're going from to and fro and all the things in life, especially as you get distracted by an emotional problem or a physical confrontation or just some kind of a change that you do or do not want to happen. It will take your attention away from the situation in front of you. And it's just better to be aware of what's going on right in front of you. Then you have the chance to avoid it. There are bad people in the world. There's plenty of them. And that makes me think of a story from long ago. It's a story about a couple I'd know. They were a married couple and nice people. They ran a heavy equipment repair business. And so I would visit with them fairly regularly. Oh, this was a long time ago. But I liked them. They liked me. And so we had good conversations. They had a mechanic who worked for them. And he was just a good guy. I mean, the whole group was a good group. Nice people. The husband and wife were nice. The husband did a lot of the work. The wife did the books. The man who worked there helped with everything that he could. He just did all the jobs. Did a lot. So it was kind of interesting about this woman. She was alive during World War II in Germany. And it was a kind of a funny thing. You might have heard that Hitler had a program to breed the best Nordic German people with each other so that he could form a so-called master race. Well, the choicest men and women were chosen, and this woman, I guess I knew her in her 30s. That was when it started, and I knew the couple for 15 years. But what happened there was that the woman's mother was in that program of Hitler's master race. And so she was chosen to bear children for the master race that Hitler wanted to form. Amazing, isn't it? It's just amazing. There really were that kind of people like Hitler, and there were people who were just plain in the country, and they agreed to a program. Well, so this woman's mother was one of the choice women in Germany at the time, under Hitler. And so she got an award from Hitler also for having whatever number of babies it was. I don't remember, but it was a few. So anyway, that is how the situation this woman was born into. She knew what it was like to live under German dictatorship and Nazism. didn't like it, of course. She was opposed to it. But her situation was that's who she was and how she came into the world. She kept up with her mother all her life. And after, 15 years or something, she decided to try to find her birth, what do you call that? Her sperm donor, the father. And so she found that man and found out that he already had a family in Germany with 3 or 4 children. And she contacted him gently, but they agreed to meet each other, and they did. They knew each other for probably 2 years, and then it just dropped. But it was kind of interesting that I got to have that association with somebody who really was a part of that German Nazi situation. I don't mean it was good, not at all. I just mean that I saw part of it firsthand. So she got to know her father. Nothing happened. I don't mean her father. I mean her sperm donor. It's just interesting. She didn't especially like the man. He did not especially like her. After all, he had a family, and he did not want anything to interfere with his new small family. But he did feel obligated to have a talk and meet with the woman who I knew, the husband and wife, and she was the wife. So, kind of interesting. Well, so back to the story. Like I said, this couple owned a heavy equipment repair shop, and they had that young employee started working for them when he was 15, and at this time he was in his, I think it was 27 or 28. So he knew the mechanic field very well because having a really good teacher. So he became an accomplished mechanic, and they moved away. They moved the shop. The husband and wife moved away, and after 5-6 years, I had not had any contact with them, and I went to find them, and found them. The husband and wife, they were doing good. This young man who I also knew, he had done just fine for the mechanic that he was. He did good work, and it was kind of interesting. He was a very clean-looking guy, just plain nice he was. Always seemed nice, clean-cut. And he got discovered by a large and well-known motorcycle gang and developed a acquaintanceship, a friendship, something went on where there was a constant interaction for a year and a half. And then he went to work for the motorcycle gang. And this was the interesting part of the story. Because here he was, a clean-cut, kind of a lanky fellow, just nice-looking, talked nice. In fact, your big impression of him would have been, what a nice guy. He looked squeaky clean. And then what happened was after the motorcycle gang people talked with him for, you know, it was almost 2 years, year and a half. And so they came up with ideas for how he could be incorporated into what they were doing. They helped him with things, and Soon enough, they were supplying him with really whatever he wanted. The motorcycle gang got him a motorcycle. They got him a truck. They got him guns. They got him fine liquors, very fine, and drugs. And basically, anything he might want, they got for him. They got some, well, tatted up women, the ones that he could want. And, well, he was pleased with all the gifts that he got. And he came to do some work for the motorcycle gang. He became the front man, if you know what that is. It's somebody who makes the initial meeting for a business deal. And, of course, they liked him because he appeared so squeaky clean. But he was good on the outside, but it developed. He was not so good on the inside. He had some dark spots. Well, it goes to show you that people can be fooled and people can be troubled. I guess that's what the whole point is. So I want to... when I'm thinking of this story, I'm thinking of Mark chapter 18, verse 36. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So here was this nice guy working for a well-known motorcycle gang in the Bay Area and being the front man for anything that went on. For a deal that somebody in the motorcycle gang wanted, and they would send him to start the deal off or finish the deal, whatever it was. But like I said, he didn't look like a motorcycle guy. He looked like the cleanest of clean-cut guys, and they used him for that. And in exchange, they got him, like I said, a motorcycle, a house, guns, all the alcohol and women he could want. What a sad story. Well, anyway, I never saw him after those people moved, but I heard that that's what happened to him, and he still stopped by the man and woman, husband and wife, that I knew. He would stop by every couple of years and just see how things were. And that's how they got to learn what happened to him and how he was doing. I just thought it was an amazing story that somebody would do that. He traded. Well, I think of that. Should I say it again? Mark 18:36. I don't know that he lost his soul. That's not for me to decide. But it sure looked like it. That he got the earthly things, the things of this world. It seemed better and better to him, and they gave it to him free, and all he had to do was what they told him to do, and he did it. What a situation. I guess what I would just be mindful of is that things are not what they appear, and that has been a story throughout time. But because I had that little personal connection, I thought I would tell you that story. We do need to pray for people to know the love of God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And we all need to remain strong and faithful to God, Christ Jesus. And we want to be saved. We want to go to heaven. And a part of that is being saved from hell. That's what we do. So, yes, I pray for the unsaved very much, and those who do not even know Jesus, they might not have any idea who Jesus is. So we want to pray for all those people who don't know Jesus. After I was one of them once, and I have to think that through the prayers of people who loved me, that was one of the things that moved me towards the time when I accepted Jesus Christ and started studying the Bible. Very interesting. Oh, well, I guess a lot of people have an interesting story. So as far as I know, I don't know what happened to this guy. I lost touch with him completely, but I sure found it interesting that he turned from a squeaky clean guy to a motorcycle affiliate. I don't know quite how to say it, but that's what I would say it as. Well, we turn to a whole lot of things in life, and I hope that you and the people you love stay on that straight and narrow path. We do have to feel for the people who don't know Jesus. They certainly have a lot of things that are going to be trouble for them. And it's not like we know what it is. We don't. But we do know that they're going to have a different path than going to the light of Christ Jesus. So we pray for them who we know. We pray for them who we don't know. And we find it amazing that we have true stories in life like this. It's, Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Of course, I can't judge that about this man, and I don't know what happened to him afterwards. All I know is the little bit I told you, and I know that I would not consider it good. I would consider it trouble. So he invited something into his life that was not good. Well, at the moment of death, we all might have a certain understanding that we don't have before. At the moment of death, you really are faced with eternity. You are faced with what your life choices have been. And you get to just get a pretty good idea if heaven is waiting for you or if hell is waiting for you. It really gets real as you understand yourself getting closer to death. Now, I have known a few Christians who have been on their deathbed, and it's always just fine. They feel good about dying. They feel good about being with Jesus. I don't know if you're like that, but more than a couple of people who I've known have been on their deathbed, and they didn't mind dying. It was just fine because they knew they were going to heaven and it was going to be good. But here was a fellow who I know who seemed, because I don't have the knowledge, but he seemed to have traded the goodness in his life, whatever it was, for the evil things that he wanted. And he got them. And I can only guess where things ended up. Well, we have a chance in this lifetime when we are alive to choose Jesus. And that is what we want to do. We want to choose Jesus now when we can. We don't know that there's a second chance. Oh, I've known people who say, well, after we are dead, then we get to decide. There's no proof of that. In fact, it's a strong indication that there is no second chance after we die. All I know is the Bible says we have one chance while we are alive. And who would want to give up that one chance? No, I don't know anybody who would really say, I have a chance to. Choose Jesus while you can, while you're alive. That's the point I really wanted to say. Heaven is a wonderful place. We hear from the people who have gone. Now, there's people who talk about their experience of going to heaven. There's people who speak about their experience of going to hell. It's all very something we just can't quite imagine. But I've never heard anybody say that What? Wait. That's not true. I've never heard anybody who has had an afterlife experience, however you want to call it. I don't know how to call it. But they have always said that there's a choice. We go to heaven or hell. Our choices are made here on earth. And that's something that we get to choose now. Choose Jesus now while you can. And that's my point of this. Well, we have an amazing thing going on where we have a wonderful eternity prepared for us. Our all-powerful Creator, Jesus Christ, has this as an option that we will go to heaven. We just have to choose Jesus. You can do it with your intellect. You can do it with your feeling. And of course, you want to do it with your actions to confirm your feelings, your intellectual understanding, whatever it is. You want to be obedient to that. And some would say you need to have that experience and being born again and in this life. And I don't know. I sure don't see that we have a second chance after our death. But it's an area that really I don't have enough experience to talk about. Maybe you do. Well, anyway, that's what I see. So choose Jesus now while you can. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's see. There's people who I've met who have... Oh, everything's really interesting, kind of. Just kind of. I knew a fellow who was in South America, and he went through the crisis in Argentina at where the money became basically worthless. No, it did become worthless. And it's just something which, once you go through that, you just can't shake the experience from how you relate to things. I think of the people who went through the Great Depression. I think of my grandparents who went through the Great Depression. That always stuck with them, that they might not have what they need, so they would stock up. They would have things available. They would appreciate what they had, because at one time they did not have anything to speak of. So that's something that we can all kind of remember, is that we want to, appreciate what we have, and then do what we can to protect ourselves so that we don't have a deteriorating experience where our money is taken down, our money fails. And that's something that we seem to be headed for right now in the United States of America. There is all sorts of reasons to see that money will fail. It's not quite you can say it's going to, but I sure can see I see it. It just looks so obvious to me. Well, whatever you need, things are going to cost more right now because of the inflation. Well, we have a depression and things suddenly go down. It could. It certainly could. And we don't exactly know about how it would happen, but we sure know it could happen. And things were different in the past, where there was not the luxurious living and the easy living that we have today. It's amazingly soft, our life. It's wonderful, but it's also very soft. And how are we going to get strong enough to stand up the persecution that is going on in Christianity? It's going on, and we need to say, yes, Lord. Oh, part of it might be, yes, Lord, I will suffer for your sake, Lord. So that's something I know we all can do. In these days when the things are going on full of people who really say that it's going to be bad soon enough and that we need to prepare, well, I'll always give things some thought, even if it's as unlikely as can be. Give it some thought. Say, what if? What if it really was going to be like that? What would we do? if we don't think about it before it happens, we don't have much chance, because when it happens, after that, our attention gets divided and we just don't think so good. So do something now and have a start on understanding what the problems may be. No, if it was going to turn into a bad situation where everybody lost what they had, well, we would all be changed, that's for sure. And I'm thinking right now of how you can tell the people apart, the poor from the rich. Oh, and so I just thought of that with Peru. I went to Peru. And yes, it was nice. But what I found out was that there were strongly two classes of people in Peru, the very rich and the ones who had to work for a living and had to watch their dollars and cents. So I saw some of the poverty in Peru, and one of them was a mom and her, 6-7-year-old girl, and she danced for the small group that I was with, and she didn't do it for money. She was just joyful, just a joyful little girl, and it was really so very nice, just that somebody had that much joy inside of her, and that's what she did. She danced because that's what she could give, and it's not like it was not for money. It was just for applause and telling her what a good job she did. And that was interesting. Well, one of the things about that Peru trip was you could certainly tell the people who were rich from the people who were poor. And I know I've heard plenty of people say, well, if it gets bad here in America, I'll just go into the woods and live out in the woods. Well, that makes me think of the Peru experience where there were people who smelled like baking, cooking oil. And so they smelled like food. You couldn't get it off the clothes. In fact, every bit of paper currency smelled like that cooking of that oil and whatever else they were cooking. It was very noticeable. And everything smelled like it, from the money to the clothes to the people. It just had that very characteristic odor. So if you ever think that you are going to run off into the woods and escape, whatever is coming, well, maybe you will, but you have to be aware of the problems. You're not going to have your balances checked. You're not going to live a normal life. If you go into the bank, if you go buy gas, or if you do anything that is interacting with other people, after you have lived in the woods for a couple of weeks, you are going to stink so bad like campfire smoke. There might be other smells too, but the campfire smells are most notable. It stinks to the other people who don't live in it, who don't have a campfire. And that's the thing about everything that you're thinking about now. You're thinking about you're going to live just fine. You're going to go into the woods. You're going to have your checking account. You're going to have your vehicle and drive in when you need something. Oh, yeah. Are your papers up to date? Can you renew your driver's license? Can you? Huh? I don't think so. Well, it'll take a little doing. Or anything that you need your driver's license to buy. Are you going to have that updated license? Are you going to be able to buy what you need from the stores? Not likely. And everybody in the store is going to be suspicious of you because you smell like smoke. Yes, campfire smoke, but still smoke. You're going to smell different from every anybody else, you're going to smell funny, weird, something that you don't want to be like. And that's the thing, is if you've been in a campfire smoke for a day or two or three, it can smell good, but it is campfire smoke. Now, if you are in campfire smoke for 5 days or a week or two, you're going to be offensive. You're going to stink to the rest of the world. And nobody's going to want to be near you because you stink according to the world. You haven't had a decent shower. You haven't washed appropriately. And now you stink. So how are you going to interact with people? You're going to smell like you're different from them. And so you're not going to get the things that you wish you had, because you'll be ostracized. You'll at least be noticed. And maybe you don't want to be noticed to the authorities. If you were living out in the woods for a few months, they would have interest in you. And you might not want to be found. So it's just another way of how things work to keep you advanced, to keep you private. There's things going on. You want to be able to work in the world and trade in the world and have things be good for you by getting whatever it is you want. Do you want that cup of coffee? I don't mean a cup of coffee. I mean a can of coffee so you can make it when you're at the campfire. It's not that I know, but after that little experience I had, I know that smell makes a big difference. And so if you smell like an upper class person or someone who works in the tourist industry, you don't have a smell. You're good. But if you work in those lower class areas and have somebody who feeds you food, you're going to be around food. You're going to be around that smell, and things are not going to be what you think. Whatever it is you think, it's not going to be that way. You're going to have to be careful. You're going to be noticed. And that's the thing. So if you think you're going to go out in the woods and live, well, not only is there no food in the woods, there also is no people that have what you want. So if you're thinking you're going to go to the city, those people are going to wonder about you very much. They might call the authorities on you. Say, there's a man, a suspicious man here, or family, or whatever it is, and you will become investigated. And if you don't have your current driver's license, license and insurance and all that for your car, do you have your registration all up to date? Well, you said you were going into the woods. So how are you going to get your renewal tags? How are you going to get your driver's license? Oh, you're going to have somebody do it for you? Well, I hope they don't get tired of it. Hope they still like you after a while, because you just never know. You just never know. What if somebody comes looking for you? It might be an official. It might be just somebody who says, we want your voter registration. It might be you get called into jury duty. It might be that you need to pay a bill. I mean, they're just all these things which you don't think of, because we have everything that we need in normal life just by living normally. But if you are one of those people who are going to smell different or look different or act different, you're going to be different. And that's just the way it is. So, but anticipate it. So if you think you're going to go into the woods and live a lifestyle of somebody in the woods, it just isn't what you think. It's not that I can tell you for sure what it will be. No, I can't. Don't know. But if you're thinking about it, please just cover all the bases and think about what would happen if. I think that's just the best thing you can do. Lots of, I mean, there's lots of good things about the woods, but it's not good for survival. It's not good for having a family in the woods. There's so many things that you don't have that you wish you had. And certainly, if you're not talking about you, there are things your wife will want to have. And it's just, it's a difficult situation. It gets to be. So consider it carefully. Look at all the things that you have. Look at what you would be able to maintain. If you did that, the situation is far different from what you think. I would not be surprised if there were people who went to go live in the woods after a calamity, but they're not going to keep one arm or leg in the city. They're going to have to do it all the way, full time and permanently. And that's tough. There's really not a lot to eat in the woods. There really isn't. I know I hear people say, we're going to eat berries and shoot squirrels or something. Right. No, you will run out of squirrels after 10 days. Okay. And berries are only there in season. You will need to plant a garden, and so that you need to live right at that garden so that you can protect it from all the animals that think that human food is pretty good. So I hope you just consider all those things when you have a plan of what you're going to do. I was thinking of that song, Bad Boys, Bad Guys, What You're Going to Do When They Come For You. Well, I just think of that. It's a question of what actually will happen. Are people really going to be looking for you? I don't know. Just don't know. It depends on the whole situation and who you are and what you've done and all that stuff. But really what I mean to say is it's not what you think. So I hope you plan for it and plan for the unexpected, whatever it is that is happening. Plan for the unexpected. And remember, you want to have your Bible and other things with you. Bibles are so good because they help you have a further understanding. It doesn't stop. Even if you were to be in the woods, or if you were to be in a camp, or anything else, your search for God is going to be a wonderful thing to do. So have that material that you can use, the Bible to read, the books that are talking about the Bible are good, because they have another perspective. So, yeah, by all means, do that. Look at them. And thank you for listening today. I'm really glad that you would listen. Listen again at www.christtoday.org. Listen to any past broadcasts. And remember that if you would like to be added to my prayer list, what I will put together to pray upon and over, I invite you to send me whatever it is you're dealing with shortly. I mean, it's a short story. But the thing is I found out how wonderful prayer is, and I want to pray for you. So think about sending that to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I might not get to your mail right away because I have, I've just had to be careful about other things with my little accident that I had. So just please be patient with me, and I'm sorry that it's the way it is, but it is. So God bless you in these coming days, and thank you for listening to me.